That sounded pretty good, didn't it? Yeah. Let's say that together. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad. How about that? Well, we're glad you're here. The Lord makes all days, the rainy ones and the sunshiny ones and the snowy ones, you know. So things happening this week. By the way, if this is your first time here, I don't know if you're first time or not. We're glad you're with us. Come back, see us again. If you're here every week, we're glad to see you. You're part of the family. And we miss you when you're not here. So God bless you. We're glad everybody's here. Things happening this week. We're still collecting coats and hats and gloves and things for the homeless. It's an organization called Philippians 2. It's out of West Jeff here, but they take the stuff up to Columbus area and they distribute it among the people there that are living in places where there's not shelter necessarily, or they're out in the cold a lot during the day because they're homeless. But they try to give them some clothing, and there's some type food items and hygiene items that you, they're on the list there that you can look at. And if you want to provide those, they're collecting those from now until February 12th, I believe it is. We have a young lady in the congregation. I don't see her right now. She's in the lobby. Anyway, she's selling Girl Scout cookies. So if you like snickerdoodles or peanut butter cookies or those type of things, and you want to support the Girl Scouts, Jocelyn is out there with a Girl Scout cookie sheet, and you can order your Girl Scout cookies, and then you can make whatever invention comes out of them, bring it in, and I'll tell you if it's good or not. February 12th is the congregational meeting. So if you can make that after church, then we'll have a small gathering or a short gathering. We do some of the church business that needs done on an annual basis. And so we'll take care of that business so that we can close the books on every year and make sure everything's done the way it needs to be done and things are set for the next year, things to come. Also, we had a young lady that's having a birthday or had a birthday. What day was it? Wednesday. She is now 18 years old. Woo! I think we know, I know she don't want to be embarrassed, but she's so cute when she does get a embarrassed face. Alex has had a birthday. Let's sing her happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Alex. Happy birthday to you. We don't do that for everybody. Well, those that turn 90 and those that turn 18. So, anyway, we're glad you're here with us this morning. You know, last week as we left here, we came to church. Well, some of us came earlier. You know, it was kind of a wettish snow, okay. But by the time we left there at the end of the church, we had quite a bit of snow, didn't we? If you was here last week, we traveled through. It was kind of a hairy drive home. I don't know about you all, but I learned, you know, he said pray constantly. In fact, I even pulled over and had to take a moment to settle down. It was, you know, in the park area there and to get my nerves back together to continue drive home. But it was pretty, wasn't it? Wasn't that snow pretty? And I thought, you think about that verse there in Psalms. He says he washes our sin, you know, he washes it with a hyssop and makes our sin whiter than snow. You know, you see how white that snow was last week. And whiter than snow. So how well the Lord will clean you up. All you need to do is come to the Lord and confess your sins, and he'll take care of the rest. Okay, glad to have you here with us this morning. And I didn't look who's next, so who's ever next, please come over and take up.
All right, let's stand, shall we? It's a great song, kind of new to me. I know the song, but I haven't done this array. This is Amazing Grace.
Amazing who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. You've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory. Who rules the nation with truth and justice? Shines like the sun in all its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. Then you would bear my cross. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Oh, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear. All that you've done for me. All that you've done for me.
Praise the Lord for his grace this morning. Let's read, shall we? Romans 3, 23 and 24. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy rains on unending love, amazing grace. Exalted, the King is exalted on high. I will praise Him. He is exalted, He ever exalted, and I will praise His name. He is the Lord. Forever His truth shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in His holy name. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high.
One more time.
He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. I will praise Him. He is exalted, forever exalted, and I will praise His name. He is the Lord, forever His truth shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in His holy name. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high.
Amen. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. Would you can be seated. Any prayer requests this morning? We're doing quite a few things this morning. And if you have a quick prayer request before we open in prayer or a praise. Yes. Let me get.
He's very sick, and he asked me to keep it private at first, and then I heard from him a couple days ago about his radiation treatments, and he's going to have surgery just here in a couple weeks. So I told him I'm going to pray for him, and I've told him that several times through a text, and oftentimes I don't really get a response to that. I don't think he knows the Lord, and he said, thank you. And I said, you know, I really wanted to tell my whole church, but I wanted to respect your privacy as you asked. And I said, I know that my whole church will pray for you. You tell me the day and the time. And he said, wow, that blows me away. And I said, well, they're like a second family. And I said, you know, you're welcome to come to church sometime. I know you're clear out in Groveport. And he said, yeah, I'd like to come to church sometime. So I would like to ask everyone to pray for him. His name is Barry. If there's any educators in here, you may recognize his name. It's Barry Alcock. He's very involved with Ohio Educational Association and other organizations. And I just wanted to ask if anyone is willing to send him a card. I know he would welcome that. Anytime I've been sick or my family has been sick, he's sent a card, so I know that he likes that. And I want to thank those people who prayed for me. I know everyone was praying. I had COVID, then the flu, then another infection. And at one point, I literally thought I was going to die. And I thought, well, heaven's better than this place. So I know Pastor Bob sent a few postcards, and I want to thank you for that. I know Cindy Edgar sent me a card, and I want to thank you, Jesse Crook, and I'm sorry if I forgot anyone, but when I was laying in bed in isolation for a couple months, that meant so much to me, the boredom of just being in my room by myself for so long. So I appreciate those people who were thoughtful. I'm going to be sending my friend Barry's address out to Verna, if anyone would be willing to send him a card. I think that would be great of the Christian family to potentially maybe lead him to Christ, because he's open to it.
Let's just pray for Barry, shall we? Lord, it's good to be in your house this morning. You are the great physician. You're the great healer. And Lord, you are the omnipotent God. Everything is in your hands. There's nothing that you don't know. Nothing in our life, Lord, that you haven't walked before us. And you will walk before us, and you'll walk us through. But we pray above all for Barry, that he'll see the clarity of the Word of God and come to know you as his Savior. But we also pray for his healing, Lord. Use this in his life, maybe, to bring him to you. And we just appreciate the spirit of why you've set up a church, Lord. It's to worship you, of course, but it's to take care of each other, to bear each other's burdens. And Lord, you've instructed us that we must get together on a regular basis, because this is what it's all about. Just thank you for what you're going to do today, in Jesus' name.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. We changed the service around a little bit because we have new member induction. And I only have a 3-hour sermon this morning, so I tried to shorten it up if I could. I couldn't even speak for 3 hours, you know that, so. You know, it's always a joke. But I could make a 3-hour sermon, a 20-minute sermon. I know I could do that. I can talk really fast. Well, we have the privilege this morning and the blessing of being in a fellowship together, don't we? It's kind of a sacred and precious time for us, and we come together as a group, as a church, to be encouraged and to encourage each other, don't we? The Bible tells us in Hebrews, don't forsake the meeting together, as is the habit of some. They don't meet together. I mean, TV church is okay if you can't get somewhere, but if you can be there personally, it's a lot better to actually see the person face-to-face. You know, we have a lot of times with texting and Twitter and, well, I don't know, whatever things they have nowadays. I don't keep up with all that stuff, but it's better to be face-to-face with somebody. What's the other one? Laura's telling me information, but I don't know. So we got all these things we can use, but, you know, I don't use all those. I use Facebook sometimes to keep in touch with friends, but even that's not the best way. Personally, it's a lot better. You know, you take responsibility, and when you come to church, you ask somebody how they're doing. Sometimes they tell you the truth, right? Oh, I'm doing great. It's okay to say, I'm not really doing well. Can you pray for me? I have, you know, issues. Something's happened in my life. I need prayer. I don't need to know specifics, but just to know that you're going to pray for that person during the week so that they know. But as Christians, we all make up the church of the Lord, don't we? But I believe in the verses in Hebrews 10:25, he's talking about the local church. He's talking about a body of believers because the church in general can't all meet together. But individual churches, we can meet together, we can talk together, we can share together, we can laugh, we can cry together, and those kind of things that happen. We celebrate together. But as church members, we should be like-minded in our belief in Christ. If we have different beliefs in Christ, it's hard to get along, isn't it? And if you have a different belief, then say, well, why do you believe that? Well, this is what I believe, and talk about it, see if it's scriptural. Sometimes things we believe are not scriptural are things we've been taught since we were kids that are not necessarily true. Right? Some people still believe the earth is flat, so we have issues out there with people. But we come to church to commit to one another, to hear the word, to live out through service, to take communion, to pray together, to fellowship, and to encourage each other. If you're not going to get encouraged in a church, then don't go to that church. Okay? If you go there and get put down and people are talking about you and how bad it is and whatever, then don't go there. Because that's not really what the church is supposed to be. That's just a group of people meeting and complaining. You can find that anywhere else. We're here to be fellowshipping together. And being part of that church means you're here to share with each other. And it means a commitment to a group. So all of us, whatever our age, position, stand in need of Christ's church. And of those means of grace which belong to the body of Christ. And I believe joining a church is both important and beneficial. Whether you're 2 years or 50 years or 90 years or whatever age you are, it's important to be part of a group. And I think the church consists of all ages. You can't just have a young adult's church and an old person's church and a young kid's church and a whatever. They're all supposed to meet together because we're all the body of Christ like the family does. You know, you don't go to a family gathering and say, okay, all the kids, you got to stay here. And if you're this age, you stay here. And if you're this age, you got to go over here. You all intermingle and you learn from each other. There's things we can learn from other people that we aren't going to learn from anybody else. You can see, you know, honesty in kids. That's one of the things you can learn with kids. They're going to tell you the truth, right? Hey, your hair is looking really thin. Oh, thanks a lot. I didn't know that. I'm glad you told me that. But they'll tell you all kinds of things that are honest. And you can ask a kid and you're going to get the honest truth, right? But if you ask an adult, oh, you look really good today. You're filling out pretty well. And you're like, yeah, I know, you're lying to me, right? But you can learn things from the older people as well, things they've gone through, circumstances they've had that we won't have anymore. Like when I went through this, my grandpa would always tell me about we'd worked on the railroad, experiences he had in the railroad and things and jobs that he had done and things that just don't happen the same way now. You know, raised on the railroad, but it's not the same as it used to be. You know, there's different things. Still a railroad, but there's different things that happen that our grandparents can tell us things they went through. We went through the Depression, and this is what it was like, and we did this, and we had to, you know, save all the iron and whatever tires and all the things they did to try to make things happen. And today we don't have a lot of that. So we can learn from them and find out the value and importance of life and family and meeting together and all those kinds of things. But whether you choose to become an official member or not, you're still a member of this church. Okay, so anybody that comes is the member of the church. This is just the official member. You get a certificate. I know some of you want this. You'll have to do some things to get this. But it also allows you the opportunity and privilege to vote, to hold office, and those kind of things. And the reason we have membership is because if you don't have certain things for membership, anybody can come in and change whatever you have. I don't know if you've seen it happen before. People come in and just say, we vote for this, and then they leave, and then everything's changed, and it's totally different. So that's why we have membership, and we have guiding principles that are out there published. You can look at them. They don't hide anything. This is what we believe. This is why we believe it. And then if you agree with that, that's fine. If you don't agree with it, then you should be going somewhere else. Like, did he really say that? I did. If you don't agree with the guiding principles, then this prize is the place you should be. Okay, but we believe what we're doing is scriptural. We what God wants us to do and according to the word, and we have scripture to back those up. If you have a question about those things, then ask Russ, and he'll explain it to you. Yeah, well, one of us has to be out of the bus, so one's got to be in the bus. Yeah, I'll be driving. So this morning we have six people who want to become members this morning. I'm going to have them come forward, which is Dave, Pam, Alex, Ginger, Gloria, and Sharon. That's what you said. She's going to take your place. So these people up here, I was going to say guys, but they're not all guys, and I can't say girls because they're not all girls. So these people up here have chosen to be identified as members of the church, to contribute to the church, to serve the Lord through being held accountable by the word of God to themselves and each other, and holding each of us accountable through word, deed, and thought. So these six people standing here this morning desire to enter into a covenant relationship as a member of Life in Christ Fellowship. And a covenant is like a promise that they're saying we're going to do the best we can do because none of us are perfect. I mean, some of you might think you are, but none of us are perfect. Kathy, no, you're not. I know Russ won't tell you that, but I'll be honest with you. None of us are perfect. We're trying to do the best we can. So when you read the guiding principles, I'm not going to go to you and say, oh, you didn't do this or you didn't do that. That's between you and God. So when I do membership, I have each one read the guiding principles. And then if they have questions, we discuss it. But I figure as adults, you know, we can say we're committed to this and we know what it says. Just like the insurance companies, you know, give your paper and then you're supposed to read it. And you don't always do that, but you guys read yours. So they testify to being a Christian. They received or will receive the sacrament of being baptized. They review the guiding principles, recognize the Spirit is living with them as they've accepted Christ. So, Dave, Pam, Alex, and Ginger, Gloria, and Sharon. I could just say all of you, but that's more formal. So, we make this more formal. You're part of the Church of Jesus Christ, but there's something about belonging to a local body that provides a deeper experience shared with others in that body. So, turn around and look at these people that are here. Okay. Do you still want to be a member? The only chance right now. Okay, they said okay. But today you're coming to seek a union with this body of believers, this local church. Through this body you'll be able to serve the Lord, meet with other Christians, encourage others, and be encouraged. You'll have all the privileges and responsibilities that come with membership and associate membership, because we have a couple here that are associate members. Part of this process, I'm going to ask you a few questions regarding your experience of faith and your purpose, so we may know your heart and intentions as being a person committed to membership of the church. So there's going to be a lot of questions that you don't have to answer till the end. So when I stop talking and say, well, I say, you may answer, that's when you answer. Okay? It's kind of like a court thing here, sort of. Otherwise, you'd be saying, I do, all these questions. So I'm going to read all the questions first. This part. Do you believe in God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? That Jesus Christ is the Son, suffered in your place on the cross, he died and rose again, that he now sits at the right hand of the Father till he returns to judge all the people on the last day? Do you believe in the Holy Scriptures as the inspired Word of God? that by the grace of God, every person has the ability and responsibility to choose between right and wrong, and that those who repent of their sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are justified by faith. Do you believe that God not only counts believers as righteous, but he makes them righteous, perfecting them in love through sanctification, and provides for their growth in grace at every stage of their spiritual life, enabling them through the presence and power of the Holy Spirit to live a victorious life? You may answer, yes, I believe. They all answered. Do you have the assurance that the Holy Spirit lives in you as a result of accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior? You may answer, I do. Do you accept our membership commitments and elementary principles as biblical guidelines for your conduct? Do you accept the authority of the guiding principles of life in Christ in matters of church government? You may answer, I do. I mean, if you don't, you can say, I don't, but this is just, you know. Do you recognize your obligation to God and the church? And do you purpose to contribute your time, talents, and resources as the Lord prospers you for the support of the gospel in order to help the church fulfill its mission in the world? You may answer, I do. There's another long set of questions. By coming here today, you're indicating that your purpose is to publicly confess God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit to be your God and the object of your highest love. You accept Lord Jesus to be your Redeemer, the Holy Spirit to be your sanctifier, comforter, and guide. You joyfully dedicate yourself to God that within the everlasting covenant of his grace, you might be used in his service to glorify and honor him. You promise to hold to him as the highest good of your life, that you will give diligent attention to the commandments and principles of his word, the Bible, that you'll seek to honor the advancement of his kingdom, and that forsaking all ungodliness or worldly desires, you'll live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present world. You also purpose to join yourselves to this local church, submitting yourselves to its principles of government, and by walking in love and fellowship with all its members, seek its peace, purity, and growth in grace. Do you freely and sincerely devote yourself to be the Lord's within the fellowship of this church? You may answer. I just wanted to see if you knew the answer this time. Everybody in congregation, please stand. You guys can turn around that way. I now address the congregation of this church. Do you, the members of this church, receive these standing before you into this fellowship as beloved brothers and sisters and promise to walk with them in love, to instruct, counsel, admonish, and cherish them, to watch over them with all long-suffering, gentleness, and love? You may answer, we do.
Amen.
Everyone, please join me welcoming Dave, Pam, Alex, Ginger, Gloria, and Sharon into our fellowship. The board members come up and shake their hands.
Okay, at this time, Holly has a special for us. I think she's going to sing Holly Jolly Christmas or something like that.
It's past that time, sorry. That's a little ways away. So today's about family, people joining the church and being members together. And I want to thank all of you for being part of my family. When I first started coming to this church, it was a couple months after I'd started coming. I was sitting up here getting ready to sing in the choir, and God said, "This is your family." And I just want to thank you all for being my family. Amen. So these past few years have been tough on all of us. We've lost friends, we've gone through illnesses and crises, and I personally have had a rough couple months, and God just laid this song on my heart to share with all of you. Anytime you're coming through a crisis, a hard part in life, know that God has something good in it for you. All things work to good for those that follow the Lord. Sometimes it's easy to ask yourself why, when the hurting you feel cuts so deep inside, and it seems like you've lost your reason for life. Hear what I say, take my advice, don't give up, you're never walking alone. God stands right there beside you. He's been there all along, and he knows every tear that you cry, and he knows the answers to why. Only God knows how your broken heart fits in his master. And just when you think your world is falling apart, you'll find he's holding your world in his hands. Why must a sparrow fall to the ground? I don't know, but I know that God sees. Only God knows why, and that's good enough for me. Why must I watch someone I love so wither and die before growing old? And why must a mother lose her pride and joy, or a daddy say goodbye to his baby boy? I don't know, I only know that it's so. And I don't mean to question God of things that I'm not meant to know, but my trust is still in him alone. Knowing God is still on his throne. Only God knows how your broken heart fits in his master plan. And just when you think your world is falling apart, you'll find he's holding your world in his hands. Why must a sparrow fall to the ground? I don't know, but but I know that God sees. It's beyond my mind, only God knows why, but that's good enough for me. It's beyond my mind, but God knows why, and that's good enough for me.
Good part of that song, isn't it, that some things we don't know and we're never going to know until we get to heaven, are we?
Amen.
But God knows, and that should be good enough. Well, this morning I'm going to talk about the church. Churches are made up of believers in many locations, but no two are alike, except for the fact that they're made up of imperfect people like you and me. Right? There's no perfect people. Churches have imperfect people. Somebody goes to church and gets hurt, and then they don't come back because that church hurt me. Well, you can go to any church and find that. You can go to any location, any restaurant, any store, but don't judge God on how all people act, right? We're all people trying to do the best we can in most cases. We think of church, we often think of a building or a place where worshipers gather together to praise and learn about God. But the building's just one description, isn't it, of what a church is. There's more to it. There's a building that's a physical sense, so we would say this is the church. But the church is also you and I, right? It also made up of people. There's a universal church, which consists of all believers all around the world. But it's impossible on earth for each of us to meet together. So instead, we meet in groups and denominations and what we call churches. Denominations have different things that they believe the Bible says about certain things that we do. But the most important thing is to make sure that it lines up with Scripture. What does God say about that? You know, if it doesn't line up with Scripture, then it's probably something that shouldn't be done. Somebody's opinion or somebody's idea. But each of these groups, every church, is made up of imperfect people. If you look in Revelation, you'll find a lot of the churches had imperfect people. Did things they shouldn't have been doing. God tried to get them back in line. But every church is built with a foundation. And every group needs a founder, right? And for Christianity, that's the same one. Jesus Christ is our foundation, and he's our founder, one and the same. He even calls himself the chief cornerstone in 1 Peter. Chief cornerstone of any building is that upon which the building is anchored. That's the cornerstone of the church. We as Christians are anchored in our belief that Jesus is Lord, that he died for us, so we may have eternal life. But we're not called to live Christian life alone. Anybody ever try doing that? It doesn't work very well, does it? You need somebody there to help you keep accountable, somebody to push you along, somebody to encourage you, somebody to pray with you, somebody to cry with you, somebody to laugh with you. You need somebody. It just doesn't work out too well by yourself. That's what Don was talking about, right? Home by yourself. It's just like, I'm here by myself. There's nobody around. Where's the encouragement? You know, so you may get a card or letter or a phone call, which is nice to have people call and encourage you or talk to you and help you out. But we're anchored in our belief that Jesus Christ died for us and gave us eternal life. We're called to live our lives with others as the body of Christ or as the church. If you look in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, it says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more the day you see approaching. So what day is approaching? That means the Lord is going to come back. That day is approaching. So it tells us to encourage each other. What does that mean? Does that mean lie to people? No, it means encourage them. You're doing good. You're going to make it. Everything's okay, right? I know you've had problems, but, you know, you can get through this. And for some of us, we go through experiences that are not good, but we make it to the other side. And God uses that to help us encourage somebody else that they can make it as well. Then he says, stir each other up. That doesn't mean do what Al does. Okay? Hey, Al. He knows I'm joking. He's my neighbor, so we joke around. But that means stir each other up to do good works, to encourage them, to lead them on, to have them do things. You know, you can do this. I know we were in Australia. We had people that I thought should be leading the music. And they said, I've never done that before. I said, well, I think you can do it. I think God's calling you to that. And they're like, geez, why are you trying to stretch me? Well, God likes to stretch us into new things, new areas, to make us do things he wants us to do that we won't do on our own. So he needs to have somebody maybe kind of push us along and say, I know you can do that. And then after a while, you do it, and it's like, hey, that wasn't so bad. I really can do this. So he wants us to stir each other up. He wants us to meet together. It's hard to be encouraging, hard to have discussions when you're not meeting together. You can't just Zoom everybody. Zoom's a good thing, but it doesn't take the place of personal contact. Somebody patting your shoulder, shaking your hand, hugging you. You can't do it on Zoom. Steve, can you feel this? No, he can't feel it. Okay, so it's not the same, right? You can see it, you can talk about it, but you can't feel that. And we need, as people, need to have physical contact with people, shaking hands, whatever it may be. But we represent Christ. There are certain things we can do to be the church. I read a blog by a guy named Tim Chalice, who gives some practical things we can do to represent the church. He says, the church needs to be the church, not a shallow representation of it. Church needs to be the church, not a shallow representation of it. So here are some things we can do to be the church. In order to represent Christ, in all we say and do, we need to be humble. That's not one of the top character traits people want today, is it? Being humble. There may be no character trait quality more important than humility. But it doesn't come naturally. It has to be learned. It isn't just a feeling or an attitude. It's an action. If you want to learn humility, we need to practice it by being humble. Well, how do you do that? You find a mature Christian who exemplifies humility and spend time with them and learn what humility actually looks like. So you watch somebody model it, and they teach you what it's like to be humble, not to brag. Yeah, I beat you in that game. Well, yeah, we got you. I'm the best. Oh, you know, that's not humility, right? Whether you win or lose, you still should be a good sport in whatever you're doing. Say, hey, good game. You see on even the professionals sometimes after the game, a few are shaking hands, and some guys just go sit on the bench. And I'm like, that's ridiculous. You know, they won. Good. Shake their hand. Nice job. You lost. It's okay. We're all doing the same thing as far as that kind of a thing. Volunteer for the lowliest of tasks. Something no one else wants to do, and then do those tasks. But don't do it in the public eye. Do it in the background where nobody's noticing, and find joy in the lowliest jobs and do them where only Jesus will see. That's what humility is, right? I know somebody did something the other day, probably a week ago in the parking lot, who did something in humility. I'm not going to tell you what it is, though. But if you know what it is, it was a humbling experience. They did. And it wasn't for their glory. It was because it needed to be done, and they just did it. Jesus said, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. It's always better to have somebody recognize you than you try to recognize yourself and then for them to say, no, I'm not talking about you. Right? You ever go somewhere and somebody's like, hey, and you're like, hey, and then they're like, oh, I was talking to the guy behind you. Kind of a humbling experience, isn't it? And you think it's you. Second thing he says is, see church as something important, not an inconvenience. Make it a priority in your life. Are there some days you're tired and don't feel like coming? Some days you may not feel as good as usual, stayed up too late, watching the game, whatever it was. And the next day it's like, oh, I just can't go to church. I'm so tired. Because it's a commitment, right? You go because you need to go. You should be there. Or you say, oh, I had to do this today, so I'm not going to go to church. You can do that after church. That's between you and God. It's not for me to tell you when you're going to go, when you're not going to go. It's between you and him. It's whatever your commitment to him is. But every church Every church has people who make attending church services or functions a low priority, or that's the last thing on their list. But every church needs people desperately who see the church and their involvement as a priority. Why is that? Here's two reasons. First, God made you a part of this church for your good, to help to build you, to grow you, to mold you, to make you the person that he wants you to be. You can't do life on your own. You aren't strong enough. You're not wise enough. You're not mature enough. You're not godly enough. And without God's grace and love that we find in the church, we'll have a hard time making it in this life, won't we? Try and do it on your own. Without support of our brothers and sisters, we won't make it. Second thing is, this church needs you to be a part of the church. God made you part of this church for the good of others, to help them grow and to love them. 1 Peter 4 says, each has received a gift. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. We have all different kinds of gifts in here, and some of you haven't discovered them yet. Some of you haven't used them yet because they haven't asked you. So I might come around one time and just say, hey, what about, think about this. Think about that. And you may feel like, well, I know I probably could do it, but I'm not really sure. But if it's something you can't do or don't think God's calling you to, then say no. Sometimes we say yes to too many things when it's not our gifting, and then we fail, we wonder why it didn't work out, right? Like if somebody said to me, you look like you'd be a good semi-driver. Why don't you give it a try? It would not be a good experience. I would run over things, back into things. It would not, and I'd be like, yeah, I told you I couldn't do it. But there are some things that people ask you to do that you can do, and you're just afraid to do them. You're like, I don't know if God can have me do that. Well, God can have you do anything he wants you to do. Was I ever going to be a pastor in my life? No way. Was I going to be a missionary? No way. I didn't want to do it. But God said, this is what I want you to do. So we went. It was the best time we had, best experience we could have had, taking our kids different places overseas and going through struggles and things we had to get through and whatever. And now we have friends in all these different countries because we've been there. But I never thought I was going to be happy staying in the town I was in. My wife dragged me everywhere. But it took a while for God to tell me that he wanted me to go. But I told you before, I heard it on the radio. I would hear it in sermons. I would hear people saying things, and I'd be like, leave me alone. Until I finally said yes to God, and then it was a great experience. But there was something I was supposed to do that he wanted me to do that I kept rejecting, and then when I finally did it, it worked out fine. I enjoy teaching school. I enjoy fixing things. I enjoy that kind of stuff. And now with ministry, I can do some of those things. I can fix things and be in people's lives and encourage them and all that, and that's where I'm supposed to be. But I would never have got there unless somebody had said, I think you need to look at this. Because we think we can't do anything, but God says you can do anything I want you to do. So God has gifted you to be a part of the church, and those gifts are to be used to build up the body and reach the world for Jesus. Question is, will you make church a priority in your life? Not just church the building, but church as other people, as being the church. Third one he says is, live like a Christian. Live like Jesus all week long, not just on Sunday. It's easy to come to church and act all holy, then go home and be a wreck, right? He wants it to be like the church all week long. You're surrounded by people, in most cases, that are ungodly, and even worse, maybe the only Christian that's in your place and you're tempted to go along with what they're doing. But you can avoid that by saying, no, I'm not going to do that. When I taught school, we had a group of guys that ate lunch in my office. It was called the Round Table. And they'd come in there, and if they would tell unclean jokes, I'd just get up and walked out. And then I'd wait, and I'd come back in. If they did it again, I'd just walk out, come back in. Eventually, they cut that down to almost none. But I didn't have to say, stop telling these jokes. I don't like them. It wasn't my place to tell them. They're grown people. I just didn't want to hear it. So I didn't go in. So that kind of thing for you might be a witness. If you're in the lunchroom and they start doing all this stuff, you can just walk out. And if they say, why are you walking out? You can say, well, I really don't want to hear that stuff. Right? You don't need to say, well, you're evil and I'm good. You can just say, because I don't want to hear it. I don't want to have that stuff in my mind. Wherever you go, you represent the church and Jesus Christ. You're a living witness to both. When people see you and hear you talk and see what you're doing, they're going to equate you with that church. Oh, you go to that church down there, don't you? Oh, are they all like that? Hope they're not saying that. Probably going to say, are they all like that? Oh, good, because I'd like to go there if they're all like that. right? So live like a Christian all week long, not just Sunday. Each of us faces different challenges and temptations, but one key to living like a Christian all week is spending time reading the Word and praying. Day by day, situation by situation, like, Lord, this is a temptation for me. I got to get out of here. Help me through this. I'm not feeling like a Christian today. I'm almost going to say something I shouldn't say, so I need to just walk away. Or I need to start singing a song or something, but I need to get off this topic because it's not good for me. Get to know the people in the church. That can be by praying for them. Look through the directory and start praying by name. Last year's directory has pictures of most people in there. You can start doing that a little bit at a time and work your way up. You say, well, I don't really know how to pray. Just do the best you can do. Ask somebody else to give you an example, maybe, if you're not sure. Look at kids' prayers. You have access to the internet. Look at how kids pray. God, thanks for this hot dog. I really wanted a hamburger, but thanks for the hot dog. Little simple things. They're honest. They're truthful. God, I'm not really happy with the situation I'm in right now. I want to do better. Help me know how to do that. I'm not really feeling good with what I'm doing. Help me to be different. Show me a different way. You know, churches are made up of involuntary communities. We don't pick who comes to church. I don't go out and say, okay, I think you'd be a good candidate. Why don't you come? Oh, you might. You can come. No, you can't come. You can come. We don't do that. People come because God brings them in or somebody invites them and he draws them here. That means we don't pick who comes. But God knows who's here. He knows why. And we have to learn to love and live with people that he's brought to us. How many churches do you see fighting with each other? And then they split. Then people outside say, well, I'm not going to that church because you guys can't even get along with each other. Right? We don't know how a lot of times to get along with people we disagree with. There's people I don't disagree with that I disagree with. I still love them, though. But if we talk about certain things, we're like, I don't agree. You're not going to convince me. I'm not going to convince you. So let's talk about something else. And that's how we do it. Unless it's a biblical issue. And then the issues on that, I will choose to disagree if it's not scripturally correct. Romans 12 says, for as in one body we have many members, the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individual members one of another. How many churches divide themselves into age groups? Okay, the kids go here, these go here, and those go here, and then during the service they're all in different places. Sometimes that may be necessary if it's too big and they want to teach the same thing, but a lot of times it's better to have them all in the same place. Unless you have a screaming baby or a screaming senior citizen, you know, one of those two, you might want to take them out. But I think the gospel is powerful enough for all of us to be together and love each other and learn and worship as a group. Right? Jesus didn't divide people. He talked to the whole group. When he fed the 5,000, he didn't say, you guys go over here now, you guys go over here. He fed them all and prayed and talked and preached to all of them. So commit to get to know people who are not in your usual circle of friends. If there's somebody in church and you say, I don't know who that is, then that's the person you need to find out who that is. Might be kind of scary, right? But you can do it. I think I know pretty almost everybody in here, except maybe a couple new people. And you could do that. You know what you do? You say, hey, what's your name? And if you forget next time, you say, yeah, I forgot your name. What's your name again? And I do that more often now than I used to, right? So I may say stuff like, now what was your last name? And that makes it easier. See, they don't know you forgot their name, so. But we're not a club. We're a group. We're a church. We're a body. Right? Clubs meet. They don't know each other. They do things, and then they leave. Churches know each other. They pray for each other. They talk to each other. They find out what's going on in people's lives, and they have a close relationship. So this morning, we had six people choose to be members of the church to live by example. They chose to become a formal member of the church. We thank the Lord for that. But God's plan for each member, everyone who attends here, is to be working, giving, serving, loving, living together. Not physically, of course. Living together as a group, as a body, to accomplish the Great Commission, which is reaching the world for the lost. We should be hoping every Sunday somebody comes in that doesn't know the Lord. So we have opportunity to share with them about Christ. Not our job to make them change their mind. It's our job to share what Jesus has done for us, to be example, and let them make up their own mind. All of us make up the church. Question is, do others see the church as a body working together? Or do they just see it as a club that meets on Sunday? And then when you leave the club, you act like something else. So if we want to be the church, we need to be the church. If you're going to be called the church, then be the church. Not just a fail or frail representation of it. So let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, for being with us, for guiding us, for directing us, for the new members we have, Lord, for all the people that come here that are members of this church. Lord, as they attend each week, whether it's a formal member or a member that comes, we're all important. We're glad each one is here, Lord, and thank you for allowing us to be together. Help us be the church to serve in the church, to serve in the community, Lord, to pray, to share, to talk, to witness to others, to be an example by what we say and do, to encourage us, to pray for each other. So, Lord, we just thank you for this body this morning. Help us, Lord, to grow in grace, to grow in numbers so we can affect other lives in our community. We give you the praise in your name. Amen.
Let's stand together this morning, shall we? Help us never to forget that the heart of the gospel is Jesus Christ. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus. Like the fragrance after the Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Amen. Go forth and have a good week. Thank you.